If you would turn in your chalice hymnal to page 734, we're going to read our scripture reading together this morning. It's perhaps the most familiar passage in all the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Don't you think Psalm 23 has got to be one of the most beautiful, comforting, and reassuring passages in all the Bible? It speaks to God's love and a protection and care, and it speaks to the fundamental relationship between God and each of us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, if there were only one sentence in the entire Bible, that would do it for me. How about you? I had a dear friend and mentor. Her name was Esther Vidola. She was a congregational minister for 60 years. She called Psalm 23 a spiritual tranquilizer. She told me that when she was troubled or she was filled with anxiety, she would recite it over and over again, and it had a calming effect on her beyond all understanding. One of the most interesting parts of Psalm 23 is the promise that God makes to prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Have you ever noticed God does not promise to remove our enemies? No, he promises a full table, even when those enemies are staring us right in the face. It's as though he's saying, look, don't worry about them. I'm here. It's like having a big brother to protect us from the schoolyard bully, isn't it? And we could go in lots of different directions talking about God's promises in Psalm 23, but today I use Psalm 23 only as a jumping off point to share with you another psalm. How many of you are familiar with Psalm 91? Psalm 91 is Psalm 23 on steroids. I must admit, it was just recently that Psalm 91 caught my attention, but ever since then, I've been captivated and have been struggling with it to try to reconcile with what it says versus what we see happening in the world around us. To me, Psalm 91 is one of those hidden treasures that we talked about earlier in Scripture that's just waiting, almost begging for us to discover it and to make it our own. In Psalm 23, God makes us promises of protection that are kind of general in nature. But in Psalm 91, God ups the ante, and he makes them very specific, and some might say shocking or ludicrous promises. You have a copy of Psalm 91 in your bulletin. Let's take it out and let's read it together. And as we do, be on the lookout for God's promises. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. Wow, that's quite a list of promises, isn't it? I paraphrase them here for you. The ones I saw, perhaps you'll see others as well. I don't know, Alan, if you're able to see this or not. I'll move it just a little. God's promises to us in Psalm 91. This is God talking. I will protect you against all manner of evil and disease and destruction. I will free you from fear. I will command my angels to guard you. How many of you believe in a guardian angel? Quite a few. Isn't it interesting? This passage says we don't have a guardian angel. We have guardian angels. Maybe a whole battalion for all we know. Quite an amazing thing. I will give you the power to confront evil and be victorious. I will answer and rescue you when you're in trouble. Not only that, I will honor you. I will honor you. I will satisfy you with long life. And of course, one which we are quite familiar with because it's the foundation of our faith, and I will show you my salvation. Quite a list of promises, isn't it? The question is, can we believe them? You know, some of us might say, no way, no way. Others might say, yes, you know, those words do ring true in my life. We're shaped by our own life experiences, aren't we? Some years ago, you may remember a book that was published with the title, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And I think we've all experienced or seen unexplainable tragedies. And today we see more and more acts of mass violence. We don't need to look any farther than Kenya or Boston or Newtown. There's a quandary as we approach Psalm 91. God never promises to spare his children the trials and tribulations and hardships of life. On the contrary, the Bible tells us over and over again that these are going to be part and parcel of our life here on earth. The assurance of Psalm 23 is that God promises to be there with us in the midst of those difficulties and to somehow see us through. But Psalm 91 says more. It specifically says God will protect us from the really bad things, the really bad things. Now, can we write a list of what those really bad things are? You know, the tribulations that we can expect and the things that God is going to give us a free pass on or protect us from? No, of course we can't do that. We have to rely upon God's mercy and his infinite wisdom. But what can we say? Let's look back for a moment at the conditions God asks of us in order to rest in the assurance of these promises. And if you look at the psalm, it occurs at the very beginning of the psalm in verse 2, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. God asks us to trust that he is capable and willing to do what he promises. And that's not always easy for us, is it? You and I, as followers of Christ, believe that our eternal salvation is absolutely secure as a result of our faith in Christ. Nothing, absolutely nothing can change that. We're secure for all eternity as a result of accepting this wonderful gift of grace. But here's the question. How about our safety and security in the here and now? That's a different question, isn't it, than relying on Christ and faith for our eternal salvation. Psalm 91 says we must trust that God will protect us in the here and now. And here's where it starts to get hard. Psalm 91, as well as many other places in Scripture, remind us that God's protection is not all-inclusive. It doesn't extend to everyone. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes find that a little hard to swallow, hard to understand, hard to accept. God promises His protection to those who trust Him, to those who are actively seeking Him in their daily lives, and those who love Him, not in some abstract emotional sense, but by doing their darnest to obey His commandments. Scripture tells us these are the people that will abide in the shadow of God's wings. Think about that word abide. What a beautiful image that is. Certainly, if someone abides in the shadow of God's wings, it stands to reason no harm could possibly reach them. You know, there's a story in the sixth chapter of Mark where Jesus goes home to Nazareth. It's his hometown. And basically, I think you know the story, he gets no respect. They view him as nothing more than the carpenter's son. And what's the punchline? Mark writes, "And Jesus could do no acts of power there. And he was amazed at their unbelief." Here we have the Son of God, powerless to help. Why? The people didn't think He could do it. God wants you and me to be in an ever-deepening relationship, a personal relationship with it. It's a covenantal partnership. God brings the power. We bring the trust that God is willing and able to deliver on His promises. You know, as I was preparing this message, it struck me that those opening words in Psalm 91 appear somewhere else. If you were to take some money out of your purse or your wallet, you might see some familiar words. Now, do you think that our country as a nation abides in the shadow of God's wings? That's another sermon. You know, when I was young, growing up, I think I implicitly believed the words of Psalm 91. And then as I grew older, life experiences led me to believe there are no guarantees at all in life. But now, I must tell you, after struggling with Psalm 91 for some weeks now, and that's what I've been doing, struggling with it, I have to tell you, frankly, most of the summer I've been struggling with it. I don't know why, but I have been. I believe the words of Psalm 91 do ring true in my life. One thing I think we need to make absolutely clear, Psalm 91 is not to be used by any of us to draw any conclusions whatsoever as to why tragedies happen to other people. Only God knows why those things happen. I think it would be a gross misappropriation to suggest that if only such and such a person had more faith and trust that they wouldn't have contracted cancer or that their son would not have been killed in Afghanistan. Are there situations in life that fall outside the boundaries of the promises of Psalm 91? I think there are. God never promises to spare us the consequences of our own bad decisions in life. God gave us common sense and caution for a reason. And Jesus himself tells us not to capriciously or recklessly put God to the test. You may remember these words. The story is that the devil used these very words during the temptation of Jesus. You remember he put Jesus on the top of the temple and said, okay, Jesus, throw yourself down. And let's see if those guardian angels are going to prevent you from dashing your foot on the stone. What did Jesus say? Don't put your Lord, your God, to the test. So, just because we happen to have our Bibles open to Psalm 91 on our passenger seat as we're driving down the road and we're texting and expecting God to protect us, probably not a good idea. Probably not a good idea. It seems to me Psalm 91 is a very personal passage. It's a gift. It's a gift meant for each of us to unwrap and, with God's help, discover the meaning for our life. Perhaps you've been searching for a sense of peace or security in your daily life that's been somehow missing or elusive. Perhaps you've never really were aware of the promises that God makes to you in Psalm 91, or if you did, you never really thought very much about them. Or perhaps you or a friend or a loved one have experienced circumstances in your life which make it very difficult for you to believe that these promises could even be true. And there's another possibility. Perhaps there's something in your life which is getting in the way of your relationship with God. And you may be thinking, you know, God, I'm just not living the kind of life that's worthy of abiding in your presence. So how can I possibly expect you to bless me with these promises? You know, there's another psalm that speaks to that very dilemma and frustration. It's Psalm 101. And the psalmist writes, I will study the way that is blameless. But then in frustration, he cries out, but when will I attain it? And then he goes on and he makes this pledge. I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. Well, you know, that's nice. That's all our goal, is to do that. But how many of us can say that we do that on a consistent basis? That's where Christ comes in. Thanks be to Christ, because it's through faith in Christ that God imputes Christ's righteousness to us, the righteousness that you and I could never, never achieve on our own, the righteousness that makes us worthy to abide in God's presence, even in the here and now, even as we're struggling with our temptations and our demons. And something else, we have Jesus to pick us up and set us back on our way when we inevitably stumble. Because we will. Jesus is the one who, though we stumble, will prevent us from falling. Each of you has that copy of Psalm 91 in your bulletin there, and I encourage you to take it home with you and meditate on it, and don't let go of it until it says something to you. That is the beauty and power of God's Word. It's not based on what I'm saying up here today or what the person next to you thinks about the passage. But the Holy Spirit personalizes it just for you based on your need and on your circumstance. We'd all like the fullness of these promises played out in our lives, wouldn't we? You know, in the book of Hebrews, we read that God knows and sees the real intent of our hearts. So I invite you, wherever you might be today in your life, whatever circumstances you might have experienced in the past in your life, I invite you to make a new commitment, to begin a new journey, to trust in your heart that God will do in your life, according to his promises. Why do you think God chose trust is the one attribute among all the things that he might have asked of us. It seems to me trust is the perfect choice. God knows our lives are filled with uncertainty and ambiguity. And trust allows us to navigate that life with confidence. And not only that, be more than that, to lead an abundant and a full life. So let's ask God to help us to trust him more and more, not just for eternity, but in all things. That we somehow, sometime, someday might get to the point where we cry out, just as the psalmist did, "My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, trust." That is what God asks of us, to unlock the hidden treasure and the power of Psalm 91. Let us pray. Oh, dear God, we thank you for your holy word. May we spend more time in your scriptures, discovering for ourselves the hidden treasure you have placed there just for us. Amen.